Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
Stroud will line up under center, make sure everybody is set, takes the snap, drops down to his left knee. That's it. The Houston Texans, a gritty win tonight, led by their defense in the second half. The Texans beat the Chicago Bears by a score of 19-13, and Houston goes to 2-0 in the 2024 campaign.
Gritty is one way to describe it. Kind of a weird game, poorly officiated. It wasn't that easy on the eyes just because there was no real pace to the game itself. And then you had the old guy in the chain gang falling over.
When he fell backwards, I was like, it seemed almost, I saw the replay, obviously, it's slow motion. It seemed like a dramatic replay, but I was like, oh no, he's really hurt. Like,
yeah, he hit his head hard.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that at first. I was like, wait, what's going on? But yeah,
I wasn't sure what happened because I had gotten up at that point because I've been trying to install a garbage disposal. Do not ask.
How's that going?
Bad.
That seems like, so, you know, the beauty of, like, people talk about men aren't men anymore. They're not doing around the house things. They're not improving things.
I'm trying.
But, like, YouTube exists and we can all, like, figure it out. Do you remember the old, like, was it Time Life?
Yeah.
Like anthology,
yeah, the
where
Time
they teach you how to do anything,
yes,
right? In books. But now we have that in YouTube form.
Look, this is way beyond that.
It's fine now. You fixed it?
I mean, a professional came
by yourself?
Out, and actually, I did get high marks. The professional's like, you know, I didn't know that you had to rewire the entire electrical plate on the bottom to put this in there. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't know which was the neutral wire and which was the ground wire.
Oh.
And then I got another.
But they did.
Yes.
Or they figured it out.
Yeah, but he had to call an electrician. My handyman actually had to call an electrician.
Okay, so you felt better about the process.
I did a lot, and I didn't have to do anything, and nobody died yet, and nothing caught on fire yet.
These are all positive developments.
The floor. We raise the floor is what we do. We have the floor high. And also, before we hear from Ed Eberflus real quick, thanks again to Shake Shack. This stuff's really good. It's really, really, really good, and they have their own branded water too, so that's cool. I just also want to say thank you to a couple folks that I met on Friday night. I was out seeing a friend's band on the Northwest side, and as I was walking back, I stopped into a bar in my neighborhood because I wanted to use a bathroom, and I'd never been in the bar before. I'm like, oh, this place is pretty cool. I'll belly up and have a beer just because why not? And I overheard their conversation, and they're a couple of positional coaches at Notre Dame High School who were drinking away their sorrows after a loss.
Friday night loss.
And yeah, they had a tough one. But I said, you know, I'm sorry to eavesdrop, but you guys are saying, I'm really interested in what you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, you know, they were talking like ball.
You earjacked their conversation?
And, but they were moving glass around. Like, well, hey, well, if this guy's here, then we're going to have to find some space here. And it was sexy football. And I was just kind of like, oh, this is really cool.
Made you want to slip into something more sexy, didn't
so,
it? And join the conversation?
Right.
And they
were super, super nice. And I had a really nice time talking ball. A little bit of local high school football gossip, you know, that kind of thing. You know, hearing some stuff about people and coaches and things and places. But shout out to Notre Dame High School football. And may you get the 21 points that you guys are looking for as well. Speaking of football coaches, Matt Eberflus began with his post-game or his post-game Monday opening comments.
So I'll just open up with some of the items that we talked about last night. You know, I thought that overall, like I said, I was proud of the guys, how they fought through the entire game, and we had a really good resiliency, you know, in terms of playing complementary football, hanging in together, and giving us an opportunity to win that game at the end. I thought the first drive by the offense was good. Caleb went 5 for 5 there. Again, we ended up kicking that field goal, but I do believe that, you know, right before the half, we had some good complementary football going there. We had a nice punt and pin. Got the ball back to our offense. You know, we end up scoring at the very end there, you know, to make it, 16-10 at half. I know You know, we got to do a better job on defense at the end there and not letting them get into field goal range. We had them right outside the field goal, the kick line there, and we lost the containment on the left side, and then they end up getting a scramble drill to number 12 and then end up getting in the kick range. And then we end up playing, a sideline defense, and then they end up kicking that long field goal. But I thought that was good complementary football. And then at the very end, we did the same thing. We did a really good job of playing good defense in the second half, giving our guys a chance to go down and kick that field goal with a one drive. You know, and then we just put ourselves in position again with the defense, you know, in terms of getting the ball back for our offense to go back down there and win it. And, you know, we had an unfortunate, sack at the end there, which put us behind the sticks. And then we didn't finish it off the right way to be able to end that game with a touchdown and a victory. So we just fell short. And we're looking at the tape right now. Guys got in late last night. We got into the house hall about 4 o'clock. And guys are back in here right now. Offense and defense are meeting right now, going over the tape. I was just in with the offense, and I'll be going in with the defense right after this. But I'll take questions.
First question, Pat Finley.
Hey, Matt. When we talk about your pass protection, what's more concerning to you, the execution when the other team brings pressure, or the fact that you guys are putting yourselves in those situations where you're second and long and third and long?
Yeah, that's great, Pat, and great observation there, because I do believe that when you're able to run the ball and move the ball and stay ahead of the chains, you don't get those types of pressures and that where you know you're all pass protection. So we have to do a really good job with that coming forward and not creating those distances for us that are favorable for us on offense, that we can, rely more on the quick passing, rely more on to convert third downs and really get first downs on first and second down, not even get the third down. So that's what we're searching for. We're hunting for that. And we were just in that meeting talking about that just 10 minutes ago.
Jason?
Matt, on the interception that Caleb threw that was negated by a penalty elsewhere, how do you guys view the teaching process with him of not wanting to take away some of what makes him a special quarterback by being a gutsy thrower, but also realizing some of the things he got away with in college are not going to work in the NFL?
Yeah, great question. And that's really good, in terms of observing that as well. But on the first, the interception with DJ, that's a what we call 50-50 ball. We had to do a real good job of placing that in the right spot. And the whoever the receiver is has to do a good job of making sure that no one catches that, but us. And the other one that was with Cole on the scramble, he's got to place that on the sideline there where Cole can only get it. But again, if it's underthrown just a titch, then we just got to make sure that we knock that ball down and come back to it and do a great job. But the one you're referring to, Jason, obviously, in football, you never want to throw across the field, on a scramble, because the guys have more time, more space to close and all those things. And that's just a great learning experience for him and exposure for him to be able to learn from that.
Kevin.
Hey, Matt, after watching the tape, what are some of the things you've diagnosed with the run game not being able to get off to start that you were hoping for last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's run game comes down to the basics. It comes down to your combo blocks. It comes down to guys, working their helmet in the right spot, staying square, working to the second level, spotting up to the second level, sticking and staying on that second level. The perimeter blocking, needs to improve with our push cracks, our crack blocking, blocking on the perimeter for perimeter screens, all those things. And this comes down to detail. And it comes down to us being consistent as a group to be able to get that done. And again, we got the guys, we got the coaches, we got the players, and we just got to be better at the details and be better at the fundamentals of running the ball.
Steve?
Hi, Coach. What are some of the things that you liked about the fact that your defense held arguably a pretty powerful offense to just 19 points?
Yeah, I was proud of the guys, how they hung in there and executed. Again, we weren't perfect. There were some things that we need to clean up, things we need to do better, because we win and lose as a football team, and we have to do a better job on a couple things. I think scramble drills, one of them. I thought when CJ got out of the pocket, I thought that's where they got most of their big plays. And that's where a lot of the catching from, you know, number 12, you know, got a lot of his catches. So I think we need to improve there. But yeah, I was proud of the guys the way they fought. They're a resilient bunch. They believe in each other. You know, the coaches do an outstanding job. And but I was proud of the way they fought.
Mark.
Hey, Matt, your defense has played well overall, but especially in the second half. Is there something that happens either at halftime or is it just the just them getting you know used to what the offense is doing, or what's the key to those to the improvement in the second half, and how could you get them to play that way in the first half?
Yeah, that's what we're hunting for right there, Mark. And I think it's important that we continue to be consistent. You know, I think for our football team is the consistency. You know, is what we're searching for. And when we can play at a high level the entire game, I think that's going to be beneficial for our football team. And again, every single week, you know, we have different set of circumstances in terms of the skill we're playing against, the design of the offense we're playing against. So it's always going to be a challenge for us to be able to be on the details as a group. But I think that, you know, again, this is only a small sample size of two games where we did a nice job of playing better in the second half. But again, we have to do a good job of starting fast. And we did the first week we had three and outs in the first half. And we had a couple, you know, in this first half. But again, you know, we just got to, you know, give credit to the offense too. You know, they have their first 15. They do a good job of scheming up things. And then we just start settling in. But we want to start fast for sure.
Thank you.
Brittany?
Matt, coming out of the break into the second quarter, was there a substitution issue with the D-line? I know that Sweat, Walker, and Dexter were not on the field for it was the first play that was the Collins touchdown.
No, there was just a rotation there. But was it first down, Courtney?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we do that. We want to get our rushers back in on third down, and we'll do that to give those guys the reps that they need. So we can get those guys fresh, you know, throughout the entire game and fresh into the fourth quarter.
Andy?
Yeah, hi, Matt. What's your expectation level that Keenan will be practicing this week?
Yeah, I don't have anything more. I haven't talked to the doctors yet today. And again, they're all checking guys out right now down there. I did see Keenan in the building, so we'll get more information as we go throughout this week. But that's where it is right now.
Okay, thanks.
Matt, when Caleb's under pressure the way he's been, I think 12% of all of his dropbacks, or he's been sacked on 12% of all of his dropbacks, do you have to take an active role in making sure that that doesn't create bad habits in him or do anything to kind of scar him going forward?
Yeah, you know, he's a very tough person. He's very resilient, and he hangs in that pocket. And again, he showed his toughness last night. He took a couple in there, but the main thing he's got to do is, you know, ball security in the pocket, which he's been relatively good at, and then also being able to stay in the pocket and ride that pocket when it's firm. And he's got to use his instincts if it does break down, because in the NFL it does sometimes. And, you know, he does a good job with that as well. So just staying on the ball security, you know, staying on the pocket, you know, stay on his progressions, keep his eyes down the field, and, you know, just keep doing the basics right.
Nick.
Hey, Matt. Just through 2 weeks, what has been your evaluation of Shane Waldron and his play calling? And what would you say are his strengths so far as an offense coordinator?
Yeah, I would say his strengths are the same that, you know, that started the season. You know, great communicator, great teacher, really has a good feel for the game. Works well with his staff and the players. I thought we did a good job of distributing the ball yesterday, better than the first game in terms of putting it to our skill and the targets to our skill sets. That was really good. You know, so, you know, I have total belief in all those guys. I was just up with those guys talking about, you know, what we're going to get done this week and how we're going to do it and be on the details and moving forward. So, but yeah, staff has been good, and we're always working to solve problems and get better every single week. It's never going to be perfect, and this week's no different.
Last couple, Kevin.
Hey, Matt. With the third down, I know you guys have liked so far this season having Travis back there with Caleb. I'm wondering, because we're used to Roshan, we saw him there a lot in camp. Is that something where Roschon still was it a health thing, injury thing, getting back in that spot? Is are there things that Travis Homer has done to kind of earn that role in the backfield? How do you see that shaking out?
Yeah, we want to be able to mix that up a little bit and change it. You know, Travis has done a really good job in protection. He's done a really good job when we had called some design runs in there. You know, for example, we had one yesterday. I believe he punctured it into the field goal range for us at the end. But again, we want to have a little bit of mix and match in there, you know, just to create some different matchup issues for the defense. And Roschon is one of those guys, and Swift is one of those guys, and Herbert's one of those guys, and all those guys are capable of doing it. And we like to have a little bit of mix in there, just like you do with your receivers and tight ends.
Courtney?
Matt, I know that pass protection, all those things feed into, you know, the offense being able to string, you know, some deeper shots together. But Caleb's, I think, over 11 on passes that have gone 15 yards or more downfield. Can you pinpoint, you know, I know that you said that you liked that he stepped up in the pocket, but that third and three coming out of halftime seems like he kind of lofted that ball to Carter, and that should have been one that he, a completion he normally would have made. Can you pinpoint some of the maybe accuracy issues that you're seeing from him right now on those throws?
Yeah, you know, and again, if he's, you know, getting his feet set, I would think be one of them, you know, because I think when anytime you have an inaccurate throw, you always go to the feet, you always go to the base. And I think that's always where it is with any quarterback, you know, and I know that quarterbacks talk about, you know, throwing off platform and all those things, but they still have their feet planted in the ground. And, you know, they do a good job of, you know, getting their shoulders around and getting their feet planted towards the target area. So I think it's important that we start with the ground up, and he's no different than any other quarterback.
I saw a lot of quarterbacks make a lot of throws with their feet with all different proximities to the ground. So I know that's sort of ideal when he says that, but you know, I think in this league right now, that I mean that may have been true 10 years ago, but the throw that Kyler Murray made, hell, the throw that Justin Fields made.
I mean, there have been some throws that have been made that don't fit that ideal, quote-unquote.
Even C.J. Stroud, too. Look at his feet. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I don't know what you wrote down in your notes. He said it's important. The details and fundamentals of running the ball. I'll have a chance to do that this week. And I'm calling it.
What are you calling?
Bears win.
On a Monday?
I never call it.
Not knowing what's injuries are, what...
They came out of the game pretty clean. I cannot see how it's possible the Bears lose to the Colts.
Well, wow. It's looking like the Colts will probably be without DeForest Buckner, too. I saw a tweet this morning that said his ankle is sprained. It's not severe, but he's a long shot for this weekend.
Yeah, Bears win.
Wow.
Bears win. I don't usually do this.
So you're banking on number one... You're banking number one on course correction.
I'm banking a dead cat bounce. I'm banking on them. It's them concentrating on what they want to do happens to coincide with a team that's not good at stopping it.
The fact that the Colts gave up over 200 yards rushing in the first half of their last game?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So I also,
from what I've seen of Anthony Richardson, exciting as hell, but isn't quite understanding what's
enough.
Going on out there.
He's not consistent enough. I could say the same about another quarterback, but I don't know.
And who would that be?
I don't know that would change based on what kind of protection that he has. That other quarterback I'm speaking of.
I just tell you, I don't make predictions, and I don't take any pride in my predictions. But I always tell you, if I do feel something, I will share it with you. I don't always feel something, and I'm not always right. But Bears are going to win this game.
Okay, well, if they have better line play, then I'm with you, but I'm not as convinced that that's necessarily going to happen.
You don't have to be.
I was listening for the Roschon Johnson, because I do kind of wonder how he's gotten lost in the shuffle, and they're talking about mixing it up. Has Travis Homer just outplayed Roschon Johnson in practice? Is that what you heard?
Or does the connection to Waldron through Seattle trump any of it?
Well, Gerald Everett says... That might play a heavier role than we're giving credit to when we talk about all things with this offense. His answer on, I didn't love the way the question was phrased at the end about Shane Waldron, because he's like, what are his strengths? I wanted to know, like, what is your overall evaluation of what he's done with this offense?
How's he doing?
Yeah, because he's not so far. But the grace is there that I'm giving, but I wanted to know what has given you confidence that they will turn this thing around? He talked about that a little bit, and you know, back to the execution, back to the normal things. Also, I hadn't done the math yet on this one, but I didn't realize that Caleb had been sacked on 12% of his dropbacks. That's a lot.
I also thought there was another comment that I want to highlight here, and we'll do that when we come back. Also, we want to check in and get a reset on this division right now with the Packers getting an unlikely win. I'm sort of surprised with their defensive performance that the Lions lost the way they did. And, oh boy, the Vikings. The NFC North is doing some things at the moment. I also think with the benching of Bryce Young, if you're just joining us, Bryce Young has been benched.
For who?
In favor of Andy Dalton. And I think we should go and do another full reassessment.
Of that trade?
Of the trade.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
Just for fun. So all of that next on The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Did you, Dave, ever consider subbing in Andy Dalton for Bryce Young, given the offensive inefficiency?
Bryce is our quarterback. I'd love to see this thing just continue to take the next steps offensively right now.
Will he start next week?
Bryce, our quarterback. We're going to just continue to shore up and fix the things we need to fundamentally from a scheme standpoint. All those things. These are all valuable reps. These are all valuable games. We'll learn a lot from this game, and hopefully we'll take another step this week.
Rex is our quarterback.
That is Panthers head coach Dave Canales. And he has decided that it's going to be Andy Dalton as their quarterback now. Oh, boy. So think about this. They traded.
Go ahead, give it to me.
Players and the picks. So they, first of all, if the trade's not done yet, because the Bears still get Carolina's second-round pick this year, which is going to be at the top of the second round, which could be even more valuable than the end of the first round because there aren't the same guarantees.
Oh, right.
Yeah, teams are a little less of a commitment. Teams love early second-round picks. Yeah. So the Bears get that to come.
And
they've already gotten DJ Moore.
And
the pick that became Darnell Wright.
And
the pick that became Tyreek Stevenson.
And
the pick that became Caleb Williams. And the Panthers got the pick that became Bryce Young, who's now benched in favor of Andy Dalton.
Uh-oh!
Ooh.
How do you think Ryan Poles feels right now in this moment, hearing that news?
If it distracts him from the play of his offensive line, he feels very, very, very good. But then, you know, he's got work to do.
Because he built that line too, huh?
He built the line. And I think he's sitting at his desk with that with the convex screen.
It's a nice screen.
Yeah, it's cool looking. And he's, I don't know, maybe he has to take a moment to get himself together and go, you know, gather his emotions before he decides how to feel. But probably pretty good.
Or maybe he's just looking at the division standing and say, hey, we're tied for second. Let's go.
Well, the Vikings appear to be good. I still think the Lions are really good, even though their quarterback might be the limiting factor in winning a Super Bowl. If you're Aiden Hutchinson watching the Bears offensive line, that's like walking by a Dairy Queen. Being like, ooh.
Three in the first quarter, right? Three in the first quarter. Like, one quarter of play, he had three sacks. Mm-hmm. Aiden Hutchinson is a bad man.
Yes, he is.
Like, he...
athletic and relentless, tough dude. He gets to play the Bears a couple of times.
Yeah, that's what... here's my question. If you're a player on the defense of the Green Bay Packers or the Minnesota Vikings or the Detroit Lions, and you catch wind of what's been going on with the Bears offense, are you not licking your chops? You're like, hope you guys figure it out.
I guess that's what Daniel Hunter said. when the quotes that Brad Biggs had in his thing, and I really urge you, do read Brad Biggs' 10 things. It's really, it's good every week. It's really good this week. There's a lot of content in there. And it's clear that he begins working on that column throughout the week.
Oh, my goodness. And just, the depth.
Yeah, it adds the finishing touches after each game. But it is a, yeah, of course they are. The whole league is like that, though. There's no secrets in this. Everybody gets the same film. Everybody knows what's going on. You're out there for everybody to see. That was a nationally televised game. Nobody's listening to what Chris Collinsworth is saying. They're watching hand placement. They're watching alignments. They're watching Coleman Shelton getting pushed around everywhere, and they're watching pockets collapse. Speaking of which, Eberflus said, when asked what Caleb Williams could do better, stay in the pocket and ride the pocket when it's firm.
When it's firm.
When's that?
Well, he's saying in theory. This is like theory versus practicum. You know, the Sunday was the lab, right? So the practice is the classroom, the theory, if you will. In the theory, these are concepts that are taught. Ride the pocket when it's firm. Problem is, life in the streets is different. And they were in a street fight on Sunday, and they weren't winning.
I would love for him to have the quote-unquote firm pocket, but it's not really there. It's just not. What are you going to do? What is he going to do? You can't ride that pocket. He's running for his life. And it also goes to what Eberflus said, the answer that we played last week when asked about C.J. Stroud. He's been coached very well to stay in the pocket.
I want to break down the, because I want to bring up the exact quote, because we've referenced it a couple of times now, the Danielle Hunter from Brad Biggs.
Yes.
10 things. So here's the quote. After last week playing a scrambling quarterback, there were adjustments we had to make, said Hunter, who had 1.5 sacks. I know Caleb wants to scramble around. We did a good job keeping our composure when he did scramble. We stayed in pursuit and plastered in the back with the DBs. If you dissect the O-line, the quarterback can't really do anything. One way to affect the quarterback is by beating the O-line. And we did a pretty good job as a defense. I played them last year. Feel like some of the players that are still there, they still have the same tendencies. Just passed it on to my teammates. Might help them rush better. Maybe it did. Do you think it did, Dan?
I think it did.
Like,
I concur.
This is a problem. And I hope that the guests we've had on today, Dan Wiederer, Anthony Heron, and the way they talked about fixing things is how it really goes this week in practice against a team in the Colts that might not have DeForest Buckner and, you know, a team that's really on your level in terms of not playing as well as the hometown wishes they played. This is a chance for the Bears to head into that 2-game homestand feeling very good about themselves if they can just get some semblance of an offensive identity.
It's staring you in the face. They're telling you what to do.
Right.
Don't get too cute. Don't get too cute. Don't reinvent any wheel. Just go.
Teams like to run the ball against us. And if you run against us, and then you can set up your pass against us, and then you can obliterate us, and then we can make Dan Bernstein look really smart about his Monday prediction.
And that is incredibly difficult to do. Hey, keep listening for a chance to be a part of a live studio audience for Mulligan Hawes' September 25th broadcast from 5:30 to 10 at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Mulligan Haw, joined by Bulls head coach Billy Donovan in studio during the 8 a.m. hour. That morning, brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. We're going to be out tomorrow, the Bernstein and Holmes show. We're going to be at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. You need a ticket for the event. We gave these out over the last several weeks or so. Looking forward to sitting down and talking a little bit with Justin Steele, who is scheduled to join us, and wrapping up some of where the Cubs are this season. And obviously, we'll still be talking a ton of Bears in that regard, too.
Including our guy, T.J. Edwards.
That's T.J. Edwards is at noon tomorrow?
1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock. And is Tim Jenkins going to join us tomorrow?
That's getting shuffled around a little because we are spending the noon hour with Justin Steele.
Okay. Well, they both throw footballs or have thrown footballs. I also have tuna fishing questions. Very important.
We got weights and fish.
It's very important because he's a big he's a Gulf fishing guy.
Okay.
I think is he from Mississippi?
He is.
I want to say, but he's like real, like deep south Gulf and a big fishing, avid fisherman down there. So I want to talk to him about that.
Loosedale, Mississippi.
Where's that? You know?
fact that I don't know that.
Wow.
The fact that I don't know. It's
got to be Mississippi State guy.
It's got to be a southern half of Mississippi. It's got to be below Jackson if I don't know where it is. But you know what? Let's click on it.
Because I haven't been to Jackson. I've been to Hattie. The only place I've been in Mississippi is Hattiesburg.
And Southern Miss.
What an odd place that is.
Listen, man, that's what they say about the whole state. If we're keeping it a buck.
Hattiesburg, we flew into New Orleans and we made the drive. And at that's a very interesting drive. I did what I always do. I always will stop at a roadside food stand of some kind, because if there's a hand scrawled sign offering something, it's almost always awesome. Even if it's just like produce, I would just go pick up a fresh, you know, piece of watermelon or something or whatever. Whatever they've got, I'm going to check it out. Florida or Georgia, I always stop for boiled peanuts, because I'm a huge boiled peanuts
are the truth.
Oh,
they are the truth.
Some people hate them.
And you know what? That's their prerogative.
They are slimy, and sometimes the brine isn't everybody's favorite.
But the taste is the taste.
It's
a process.
Yeah, it driving while eating boiled peanuts, if you have that skill, if you played baseball and you can do the sunflower seed thing, where you can separate a seed on one side, get the kernel on the other side, eat the kernel, spit the shell, all while remembering the indicator for bunt and steal and hit and run, and you know, knowing where you're supposed to position yourself defensively.
So you and Justin Steele can have this great conversation about boiled peanuts in Loosedale, Mississippi, by the way, which is a 44-minute drive northwest of Mobile, Alabama. I told you it was south. I told you it was south. That's like south-south.
Isn't Dothan?
Yeah, Dothan's down to the northeast of Mobile.
Yeah, because I thought I'd seen some...
Now, once you cross that line from Mississippi to Alabama, I can tell you where all those places are from top to bottom.
Okay.
But Mississippi, Starkville, Tupelo, Columbus, north of Jackson, I got you. The Delta, know the Delta all too well. Don't want to go back, ever.
Yeah, it's not a place, and I did find myself in southern Mississippi driving at night.
Why would you do that?
It wasn't my choice. It's when we don't even ask, and then
you do understand the concept of a sundown town, right?
Well, I also understand the opening scene in the movie Mississippi Burning.
Well, there you go.
That was based on real events.
Both applicable.
And kept expecting lights behind me and Michael Rooker to show up and bad things.
Here's what I'll say about driving in the dark in places like that. It gets real dark real quick because there's not lights. Like, it's not like you're on the freeway.
Yes, that's what dark is.
Yeah, but driving at night is no problem as long as you're on a street with lights.
Yeah, it was not the best feeling in the world, but hey, we're here, so that's all good. When we come back, I don't know if you saw what happened in the Packers game. My whole life around sports, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
I don't think anyone involved had ever seen anything like that.
And I saw the video before I heard that it actually...
I didn't see the video. I did not go looking for the video.
No, I saw the video right when it happened. I had no idea that it affected the outcome of the play.
As it should.
So, I hope this doesn't cause you to lose your cookies next.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
So you never know exactly quite what you're going to see in football. Now, again, I saw the video of this play first, and then I heard that it actually affected the outcome of the play. So should we explain what happened, or should we let Matt LaFleur do it here, Studs?
Well, I think that let's let LaFleur explain it first, and then we can describe the visual.
Okay.
Yeah, I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center throwing up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that, because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation, and it's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
I don't know if he appreciates it or not. I don't think he did it on purpose.
But that's not only disgusting, also very much unsanitary. Like, I hadn't seen that, so I heard Matt LaFleur say what he said yesterday and knew about the situation, right? I didn't see the video until you just showed it to me. And I was like, oh, it happened like almost simultaneously as the snap. It's like when he called for the ball, like the like whatever the call was, that's when he threw up and then he snapped the ball.
And it's fast. He like his face is right over the ball and it's just a quick like, and then he snaps it. And then he blocks a guy and blocks another guy. Like, he's not even...
And those guys wanted nothing to do with
they
him,
didn't.
Sure.
I don't know if they knew. Like, he's not even delayed out of his stance. That was incredible. There's all kinds of stories about guys before. Like, Jay Hilgenberger, those guys, always before games, would get so nervous and so riled up that they would go in there and puke and do that. And they're goalies in hockey that always had to... Like, the game couldn't start until they were throwing up. In college, we called it boot and rally. If everybody's like, you know,
yeah, because you got to keep going, right?
And just like your stomach's so full because it's all this cheap beer. It's like, well, we're not done for the night yet, and it's like, oh, I feel awful. And it's like, well, you throw up, and then it's like, hey, I'm back. What's happening? And then it's no, that would be called boot and rally, but
it works.
Malik, I had these
Malik Wills has to be like, ew, dude.
I had these 10 club rules, right, based on real life stories that have happened over my
10?
Time. Yeah, there's 10. There's 10 club rules.
Do you know them all?
Of course. They're my rules. Yes, I know. They're all based on true stories. But club rule number 8, never let them see you vomit. Never let them see you vomit. So, like, okay. If you are out and in the kind of the situation you described and you feel that way, take your tail to the bathroom, handle your business, or go home. Either one. But after seeing someone with a party I was out with in a club situation vomit, it killed the... As you can imagine, the vibe for everybody else for the rest of the evening.
Are these in order?
Chronologically, yes.
Okay, what's number one?
Club rule number one, dimes beget dimes. And so this rule is, if you are with attractive women, other attractive women will be curious about you and want to know who you are, what's the deal, and they will be attracted to
dimes
you.
Dimes beget dimes.
Yes.
Number two.
I can't, all these, they're not all radio-ready. I'll give you the next one, but they're not all radio-ready. Never leave your dime unattended is number two. Because if you are in a situation
then
where
you're going to lose your dime.
You're going to lose your dime. Out in the world, yes, you okay. will lose your dime.
Okay.
So that's as far as I can go.
Okay. So we only get the three. There's 3, 4, 5, 6,
I'll give you
7,
some other ones. I'll give you some
10.
Other ones that are, okay. So club rule number 10.
Yes.
Keep your dimes in separate pockets.
These are first world problems.
they are first world problems. I will admit that.
Wow.
So, go get it, baby. The basis of that is you don't want to be somewhere with one girl and another girl that you have been, let's say, fraternizing with, associating with, shows up in the same location.
Keep your dimes in separate pockets.
I'll give you club rule number 5. Club rule number 5, no heavy necking in the club. We can't do the PDA.
Yeah, no, I
agree. We can't do that. I agree. You're messing it up.
It's low rent.
It's very low rent. It's very low rent. What else can I give you that's not going to... Because I'm thinking the radio, like, you know...
You can clean them up.
But half is good. I'm giving you half the rules.
Okay, I'm gonna hold you. All right, I'm keeping this. Yeah. This is...
So, yeah, like, the club, there's a reason. Never let them see you vomit. Like, what are you doing? Like...
Yeah, like you're that guy.
Yeah, don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. I'll give you a bonus. Club rule number, where are we at? 8, 9, 10?
10A?
This is club rule number 7.
7.
Is 9 free?
9's free.
9's free. That's where it goes. Club rule number 9, no crying in the club. That's club rule number 9. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
You've seen it before. You've seen it in a bar, club, lounge situation.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy or girl.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy or girl. So, yeah, there we go.
I can already tell that you've lived a life that I have not lived.
Yeah, these are not all based on me. This is myself and my friends being out and about and seeing some things.
I don't mean to use the past tense either. I should say should be.
Oh, no, it's over for me. I'm in a boot with crutches. It's over for me.
No crutches in the club? Is that one? Or are we adding that?
I've definitely been in the crutches in both a boot and – or been in the club with both – a boot and crutches.
Well, then they think you're a baller.
No.
Right, because then if you come in after, he must have had a rough game.
They do feel bad for you, though. Do you need somebody to help you? Yes, I met a nurse one time when I was in my boot. Yeah, she We hit it off. Dated for about 6 months.
Callers 6 and 7 to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to Mully and Hawes' September 25th broadcast from 5:30 to 10 a.m. at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage right here. Mully and Hawes will be joined by Bulls head coach Billy Donovan in studio during the 8 a.m. hour that morning. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. Next up, Matt Spiegel and Patrick Manley, a perfect pairing for our Football Monday. Brought to you by Plumbers 911 and presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. That's next on The Score.